Thank you, Doug. Well, today is Mother's Day, and thank you, all you moms who are in our midst today, for blessing us. The psalmist in Psalm 8 says that God speaks through the mouths of babies and toddlers. And you can learn a lot from those babies and toddlers if you listen carefully. Some time back, I think in the early 1980s, Anna was with our two daughters in a shoe store. And I think the youngest was perhaps 3 or 4. And this little one was not yet aware that all in her life was a gift. She was not yet deeply grateful for the shoes and the food and the medicine and the housing. And in this shoe store, a mother of similar age came towards Anna with some consternation and said, "Your daughter pulled my daughter's hair." And after some investigation, she inquired, "Why did you do that?" And the answer was simple, straight, and clear, straight from deep within her little animal self. She thought she was cute. "Oh, of course. We can't have that. That's not why we're here," but she was unable to yet see that. But she is now the mother of 3 teenage girls, and she knows exactly what they're thinking and where it comes from. But there is, in fact, a root of that same idea in all of us still. It's just that most of the time we're more sophisticated about the way we express that. Not always. Sometimes we go right back to being 3 years old. But the gift of being cute, the gift of all that you have and are, the first and best gift of God is life. We're alive, and He gave us that. And so in His plan, 2 married people, a man and a woman, a mom and a dad, come together in love and create the code, the DNA sequence that is uniquely yours in all of human history. It's you. And then once that code is set, mom supplies all else for many months. And so who you are comes directly out of her body from that point. Her nurture. You catch the rhythm of life by listening to her heartbeat for 9 months. You hear her breathing for those months, and you hear her voice. And even after we're born, total dependence for months and years, if you take the average lifespan of around 75 years old or so, you take the 18 years we spend in our parents' house or so, take 18 and divide it by 75, you get 24. 24% of our life is spent in our parents' house and in the nurture of our mother. And that is all from God. That is just a shadow of the nurture that He gives to us. Male and female, all that we are, our protection, our providing a place that's safe to raise up children, and the nurture that goes into creating, that makes a house into a home. Those gender gifts are part of the gift of being in the image of God. And so God pours into us like we pour into our children. And we just do it naturally, pouring into our children everything we have. And that pouring into our children, we come to understand that's just a shadow of what God does for us. And it takes us a long time to grow up, takes us a long time to see the gift for what it is. Oh, It just doesn't happen automatically. This is a gift. And a long time it takes before we see that we're not here just to show everybody else that we're the cutest. That's not what we're here for. Now, in the book of Romans, we had been looking at Romans chapter 9 before Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. And last week, Jeff Boschke pivoted off of Romans chapter 10 and caught what's there. That was about as much as I wanted to do with chapter 10. It says that if you hear and you believe, then you're saved. That's the gift. And so God, without us planning it at all, put that right there. And so we're going to look at chapter 11 this week and next and finish off this section of Romans 9 through 11. It's a piece in the book that we have a hard time dealing with sometimes, but in fact, it is not an afterthought of Paul's. It is, in fact, the culmination of the main message that builds all the way through the first eight chapters, and it's the part of the message with which he sees the future of where things are going. Chapter 11 is about the future of Israel. And this first part of chapter 11 that we're looking at today is about the relationship of Jewish people, whether followers of Jesus or not followers of Jesus, and Gentiles who were followers of Jesus in the church. And the Gentiles in the church at Rome are now in the majority, apparently. And we know from history that the Jewish people were thrown out of Rome and allowed to come back in more than once with the Caesars and all of that. And so they've come back and found that they've got people saying basically that we're here in charge because we're special and we're cute. That's essentially what it comes to. This chapter has been ignored, has been misconstrued, skewed, if you will, and disobeyed by the church for the last 2,000 years. And so just as God has had to work around the rejection of the nation of Israel, he's also had to work around the disobedience of the church in this and many other things. And so God is quite capable of doing that. And we'll see that in this text today, I hope. But this passage, because it doesn't jive with a lot of preformed theologies that you try to press over the text and you try to squash what Romans is saying into that form, you really have to work to get it to say that. You have to. So there's libraries written about trying to get this to say what it apparently is saying. But I would tell you that the basic truths of what we're studying here come right out of the Gospels. Jesus clearly said to his disciples that he would restore Israel. He said, I'm going to have you, 12 disciples, on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel. And he never changed his mind about that. In Acts 1, they ask him, are you going to do that now? And he says, not now. It's still coming, but it's still in the plan. Jesus said also to love your enemies. To love your enemies is to support and care for people who aren't necessarily nice to you, who don't like you, and you may not like them, and you may not agree with them. And he's going to talk about that. We'll talk about that next week in the latter part of the chapter. Jesus never redefines what Israel is, and Paul confirms that here. So the reason that we're here is to live in God's gifts, all of us, whether we fall in the category of a man or a woman or a Jew or a Gentile, whatever that gifting is that we have for this life, we're here as gifted people in God's presence. We're not here to show that we're better than one another. And that is the foundation to understanding who God is and how our relationship to Him works. And so this main idea is that God is offering a great gift for us. A gift to you, a gift to me. And so the gift is life. And it's life in Jesus the Messiah. He wants us to be plugged into Him and live forever. Can you see that? Can I see that? And do I want that? Do I believe that? So, three ideas under this today. First is that He works with whoever accepts His gift. Paul says that he's an Israelite. So God is very determined to bless us, like parents are just determined to bless their children. And sometimes the blessing looks like, I love you too much to let you do this. Yeah, and so that's sometimes how the blessing comes from God. And He can wait us out. Time is on His side. He can outlove us. Why would you do that for me? I wouldn't do that for anyone else. He's just like that. And so Paul asked this question again. I asked then, did God reject His people? By no means. Absolutely not. It's an emphatic. May it never be. And then he uses himself as a present example. He uses himself as an example of God's people, Israel, not being rejected. He chose me and I accepted, says Paul. And so I am proof that God has not rejected His people. And then he expands it a little bit and he talks about Elijah, who lived centuries before him. God has way more things going on than we know about. And one of the things He has is called a remnant that was in the passage that Doug read for us. Elijah wanted to just die. He said, Lord, I'm the only one, I'm the last one, let me die. He thought he was Israel. He thought it was down to him. And God said, lighten up, Elijah. I have 7,000 more who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And so we want to be careful about getting this, what I will call a remnant mentality, where it's just me, it's down to me, it all depends on me. Not so. Old joke about someone who has passed into glory, they're coming to the heavenly gates, and the angel takes them around for a tour, and he's coming around this corner, and he says, now you have to be very quiet here. These people over there, you see them? They think they're the only ones here. We don't want to be like that. So 24 years before Paul, or so, before Paul is writing this, Jesus also used the example of Elijah to talk about Gentiles and Jews. And he said, who did God send Elijah to when he was running away from Ahab and Jezebel? He sent her to a Gentile widow in Zarephath. And the people there got very angry. They tried to throw him off a cliff. And they were saying, he only loves us. You see, that's rooted very deeply in us. We want to be special. We want to know we're special. And God is saying, just say yes to the gift of Jesus, and I'll help you understand over time what this all means. And so he says very clearly in verse 5 here, so what this means is this. So in the same way also, at this present time, at his time, there has come to be a remnant according to God's gracious choice. Now that remnant he's talking about are Jewish believers. He used himself as the example. He said, I'm an Israelite. And he gets very physical about He's not expanding the definition of what Israel means. He says, I am of the seed, of the physical seed of Abraham, and particularly of the tribe of Benjamin, which means the seed of Abraham was Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Benjamin was his youngest son. And so Paul clearly puts himself in that category, and he clearly defines what Israel is. It's who you thought it was. It was God's children through Abraham. The rest of Israel, Paul says, are not being disowned, but rather waiting, somewhat like being in exile. And there's nothing between Paul and us that has changed that at all. It is the same situation. There's nothing that has happened in all the history of the church that changes what he is saying right here and now. And so this first idea is that God works with whoever accepts his gift. Now, if you flip that coin over, Paul goes on to say that he is not stopped by whoever rejects the gift. Now, we are very often obsessed with knowing all that God knows. Paul says the elect obtained this gift. God chose some and they said yes, and so they are the ones who have not rejected. They are the Israel that has not rejected. We're obsessed with knowing everything that God knows. We want to be able to point to a person and say, that person's saved or that person's not saved. And I'm currently reading a large, square, fat book that is trying to make the case once again that Israel means something other than what Paul just said it means. And so we're really desperate to do that. And Paul puts his finger on what we will call Gentile arrogance, and he's going to get into that more in the passage later on that we're going to deal with next week. Israel is us. We're special. We're special now, like a three-year-old. She thought she was cute. Give me a break. No one's allowed to be cute but me. Now, this is not universalism. I'm not saying everybody's saved. Everybody needs Jesus. That's in the ground. You can't move that part. But let God be the judge of who and how he goes about being the judge, how he decides this come out. So if you read large books on people that never heard the gospel, what about them, and what about this case, and what about that, the answer they usually come to is, well, it is up to God. It's his choice. And so you can read through 300 pages and find out that you don't know any more than you knew already. You knew all the particulars of it, but in the end, it is mysterious, and God is the one who finally decides about everyone. He says that some people will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I have no idea who you are. Go away. Some people will come to me and say, really? I helped you out? How did I do that? When you gave a cup of water to one of mine. I don't know. Where do we all fit in that? It's his business, and so we will let him keep his business. But what we can do is look around and see all that God is doing. Generation after generation, people coming to Jesus and saying yes. People being chosen, as it were. And God distributing gifts of all kinds to all people. Paul's going to describe that further later on. And so in the history of the church, after this was written down, there came to be two groups of people fighting against each other. And the leaders of those two groups were the church fathers, when the church became mostly a Gentile organization, and the rabbis of what became the Judaism after the temple was destroyed. They were both born about the same time in history, and they were set against one another, and it was about the issue of Jesus. But they both agreed on one thing. All enemies that are polarized opposites have to have something that holds the polarity, that holds them apart. And what this was in that time in history was they both agreed that you can either follow Jesus or be Jewish, which leaves out most of the people written about in the New Testament, because they were mostly all Jewish believers. And so down through the centuries, despite the rejection of Israel and despite the disobedience of the church persecuting the Jewish nation, despite those things, there has come a thread of Jewish believers, and it has come to grow and grow now in our time to a significant way, and we look forward to what else God will do in that that sign that this age, the age of the Gentiles, is coming to a close. And we'll talk about that more next week at the end of the chapter. So it's this near extinct species that was intentionally tried to make extinct, that people did, both the church and Judaism, have come back in our time. Again, all have the same salvation in Jesus, but this group, this that Paul points out, that he uses himself as an example of, they have a special role as the remnant of Israel, as the testimony back to his own people. It's just like men and women are equally made in the image of God, but only women can be mothers. That's a special gift. That's a special role, a special duty, if you will. And God's will is like the ocean currents. They're mysterious to us. Like the tides, they come in and they go out. And sometimes the tide seems to be out for a long, long time. And what happens when the tide is out? It has to be faithful for year after year sometimes. And then sometimes the tide comes in and there's a revival. That's why I have a real problem when I see a sign that says, "We're having a revival tonight at 7 o'clock. Did you invite God? Does he know about this?" And we look, when we watch the ocean, the tides, we can say the tide's going out, the tide's coming in. And we know what the shape of a wave is, but we know also that there is coming one day a wave that will cover the whole earth, a tsunami. It will be Jesus himself when he rolls over the whole earth. God bless us until that day. What a day that will be. And so God's will is powerful, like the ocean currents, like the tide. And many of us here have heard him call. Many have chosen to say yes, though most in the world have said no, just like most of Israel has said no, but some of us said yes. And you are here, and I am here. Will you answer his call? Will you accept that he chose you to be here today? You have a gift. You're alive today. You're alive as a man or a woman or a Jew or a Gentile. And in Messiah Jesus, you have the same Savior, the same Spirit, the same baptism, and yet you are unique. You have special tasks, as all of us have in Messiah's body together. We are his body on earth, his representation. And these gifts we have and the gifts we obtain are from the heavenly realm. The gifts that the world desperately wants but won't take the time to really seek: love, joy, peace. Those are the things we really want, that we really work desperately to get enough money to buy, and yet they elude us when we try to buy them. Now, he gives us those things because we trust in him. We believe him. So He accepts whoever accepts, he takes in whoever accepts his gift. He is not stopped by whoever rejects his gift. And finally, to take that even further, if he makes rejection glorious, imagine when everyone accepts. And so this is going to go further into the future of Israel, about the future of Israel next week. But God takes our rejection and even our disobedience and brings glory out of it. All of Western civilization, as we understand it, comes out of the Judeo-Christian world. Our law, our medicine, our science, even in the midst of Israel rejecting Jesus as Messiah, in the midst of the church persecuting the Jewish people, persecuting their enemies that they're supposed to love. Imagine what will happen when all of us say yes to Messiah Jesus, when we see his face. And so, as a small example of this, if you come from a family that mostly rejects Jesus as the Messiah, God might make you a remnant within your own tribe to provoke and to annoy them, as it were, with the presence of Jesus in your life. That's how he works with a remnant in his tribe. And so Jews and even Gentiles, now he says, are assigned to this nation Israel, through whom and in whom he invested everything and has brought us in as well, partly for the reason of bringing his own people back to him. And so he is and always will be focused on those people, even though he loves us the same, actually. But he's going to keep his promise. He made a promise, and he's sticking with it. And so when they do say yes, and all the rest of humanity that will says yes, it's going to be amazing like we've never seen. Amen? Yeah, and we look forward to that day. And so today we honor mothers who show us the gift of life in a very present and real way that all of us have experienced. And in Messiah, that life, that physical life, that wonderful physical life we have, is all wrapped up in God and taken to a level that we could never get to ourselves, wrapped up in God forever in Jesus the Christ, even though so much of it remains a mystery. Are you in? Are you in? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for how strong and mysterious and great this gospel is, and how we have to always pound it out into easy answers that we can understand. And when we do that, we really wrong. Lord, help us to understand what you're doing, but mostly help us to say yes to what we know, that you are good and that you love us and that you have given your son, Jesus. You have taken on flesh yourself, died for us, have been raised again, and are seated in the heavenly places on our behalf. Lord, help us to live in that and understand all the rest as we walk along in this life. Lord, thank you for today, whoever will open up their heart right now and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord King Jesus, I need you as my Savior. As you've given gifts to many, give your gift to me also this day. The gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of a life with a community of people who believe you, and we are all connected together by your Spirit and your truth. Lord Jesus, I would have that gift that you're offering me. I accept it. And if you will say that, you are his child today. And I would love to talk to you about that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all who would say that today. Thank you in your name today. We bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Please stand and sing our final song.
should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in tender compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, just as the Lord pardoned you, so also you must pardon others. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfect harmony. Amen.